This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Who's behind door number three?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We've told you how several banks are getting big cash investments from overseas. Citigroup's getting a chunk from Abu Dhabi. The Chinese government is investing in Morgan Stanley. UBS is taking money from Singapore and an unnamed Middle Eastern source. Aha. This morning, the Financial Times revealed that source as Saudi Arabia, possibly the royal family. The FT says this may prompt a shareholder revolt at UBS. They don't like all the secrecy surrounding the investment, and they might vote it down. Besides, while the banks need this money, these deals are pretty expensive for the current shareholders. It's been a tough few months for Wall Street bankers. But come on, before that, they were living it up. So the bonuses will still be pretty good this year. Probably. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Wall Street optimists are estimating bonuses could rise as much as 15% this year. Eric Moskowitz is head of compensation consulting for Options Group. He thinks that's unlikely.
I think you take those numbers with a grain of salt. The actual reality and what we're hearing on the street from a lot of people is that bonuses are down.
He isn't the only skeptic. The New York State Comptroller's Office has also concluded that Wall Street bonuses will shrink slightly this year. But the news isn't all bad. The big financial firms posted record profits during the first half of the year. That was down to stellar revenues in areas like equities and investment banking. Eric Moskowitz of Options Group says its employees in those divisions will receive the lion's share of this year's bonus pool.
Those people need to be retained because you still got to put up even better numbers than this year and next year.
And he says next year is definitely something Wall Street's worried about. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Financial stocks are still taking a beating in the markets, but tech stocks are doing pretty good right now. The Dow begins the day at 13,245. It gained 38 points yesterday, just a fraction. But the NASDAQ was up 1.5%, 39 points. The S&P 500 climbed 7. In Asia today, stocks added 1.5%. European shares are up about the same amount. It doesn't look like the Hollywood writer's strike is going to end anytime soon. And with award season coming up, things could get ugly. Some stars are threatening a boycott of those shows. And two more late-night hosts plan on crossing the picket lines. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert say they'll go back to work the first week of January. Plus, the strike is costing a lot of people a lot of money. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Los Angeles drivers are still showing their support to writers picketing the studios, but that support is getting expensive. The strike has cost the regional economy more than $340 million. That's according to new numbers from the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation. Jack Kaiser is chief economist for the group. He says the industry is on a slippery slope.
This is sort of a difficult time. You have the new TV season underway. You have a lot of the new series seem to be gaining a little traction, but they're in danger of running out of scripts. And then what do? They don't have an inventory of old shows that they can show during reruns.
If the writer's strike keeps going through the end of the current TV season in May, the industry is expected to lose around $2.5 billion. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNY Mellon Wealth Management.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org.
If you haven't finished your Christmas shopping yet, you still have almost 100 hours to get it done. Geez, I better get started. Some stores will be open around the clock all weekend. But in Germany, where a few of our modern Christmas traditions began, you couldn't shop on Sunday until recently. Brett Neely has our story.
It's Sunday in Berlin, and one of the city's many outdoor Christmas markets is pumping out the holiday cheer. There are stands selling gifts, snacks, and hot spicy wine. The markets are an old German tradition, but next door in one of the city's huge new malls, another German tradition is being broken. Heike Schultz is here with her husband.
My husband bought a gift, a jogging suit.
Not long ago, buying a jogging suit on Sunday, or just about anything else, was verboten. Germany's constitution declared that Sunday was a day of rest. By law, most stores were closed. But recent reforms aimed at bringing Germany into the modern retail era have eased those rules. Berlin's laws are now the most liberal in the country. Stores are open 10 Sundays a year, including all of December. Even though malls are crowded, many Berliners have responded with angst about the new rules. On a recent Sunday, Claudia Reifenberg was out shopping.
Sunday is one day of the week when you can really get some quiet and be together as a family. If they're shopping on Sunday, then every day is hectic.
German churches agree. Last month, they sued Berlin's government in the Constitutional Court. The churches say it's not about packing the pews. David Gill is a lawyer with Germany's Protestant Church.
I'm sure Sunday without open shops won't make Germany more religious.
He says the real issue is about giving people at least one day a week to relax. But supporters of Sunday shopping say that Berlin's weak economy needs the money. Martin Lindner is a member of Berlin's parliament. He says one of the city's few growth industries is tourism, and the more tourists shop, the better.
We can't lure people here, bring them to our wonderful hotels, and then make them stand in front of closed stores.
The fate of Sunday shopping in Germany will be decided in the courts next year. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.